7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We have ignition. We have liftoff. Out and about is a go. All systems are nominal. Well, good afternoon, out and abouters. You are listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane on 88.1 and or 92.3 FM, also streaming from KYRS.org. And we're so glad to have you here today. I am going to put on a very familiar voice, I hope, to longtime listeners anyways. Shara, how are you?
Well, thank you for having me here today.
It's so excited to have you here.
Thank you.
And, you know, we're going to do business today for sure.
Absolutely. I'm ready for business.
Yeah, me too. We're open for business. KYRS is open for business. And, of course, folks, you're listening to Out and About, Out and About, Out and a Mouse, no, Out and About. And I am your host, Maeve. And you are listening to your community radio station, KYRS. And, you know, we are here because you are here. And I'm not, this sort of sounds like I'm winding up for a pledge drive pitch, but I'm not. I want to tell you why you should consider going to our gala. And if you can't make it to the gala, come to our gala instead. They're both going to be great.
All three of them, actually. We were just talking about it, you know, because I do have an accent, right? And I asked, is it gala or gala or gala? Or
yeah, which devolved into a conversation about, like, we need a Spokane
accent.
We need a Spokane accent, yeah, in the worst possible way.
I've been here 46 years. I still have my original accent.
Well, I don't think we, and for those who don't know, Sharo did the Persian Hour for, 16 years?
Or yes, exactly.
16 yeah. years. And maybe we could just adopt the Persian accent.
We'd be in trouble then, big time. Yeah. They're going to claim, you know, the Persian invasion has, you know, started here in Spokane.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be better than the British invasion. It'll be the Persian invasion. And
I guarantee everybody will enjoy the food if that starts.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, the best. Just the best.
Would you believe there was a time, I mean, we're going backwards in time in some respects, but there was a time when some guy, you know, they used to ask me, it's like, where are you from? And I go, I'm from Iran. And they would get upset, you know, it's like, go back, you know, and whatever. And then this one guy said, what are you here for? And I said, I'm part of the Persian invasion. And he just looked at me and I said, the secret plan is to mingle with American women.
Yes. Yeah,
and infiltrate that way.
Yeah, perfect.
Yes. And he believed it. It was so sad.
Well, you know, probably if you're having that conversation with him, he probably doesn't know that somebody from Iran is called Persian.
Right.
An Iranian is
right.
Persian.
Right.
They probably, they you know, yeah, I mean, that was a hot button. I remember growing up in, or, you know, going to college in the 80s, and oh my mm-hmm. gosh, yeah, that was a rough time to be Iranian.
Oh, and, it was so rough.
Yeah.
So rough. Where did you go to college?
Oh, well, I went to college. I got my, that was when I got my marketing degree. I was working at Denny's. Mm-hmm. We actually had an Iranian cook working there, mm-hmm. Abbas Shakeri.
Oh.
And a great guy, and he put up with our shenanigans. But you know what? It was great because I learned a lot from him. I learned about Savak. I learned about the secret police. I learned mm-hmm. about what happened to his family. Mm-hmm. I learned about really bad things that happened under the Shah. Mm-hmm. And I was like, we're shielded from that kind of information here.
True.
Well, we're shielded from information that's happening in the United States, yeah, even. So, yeah.
Of course, right.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad to be here. You know, to be honest with you, the first time I felt like I belonged here and I, like this was home, was when I started my show.
And now here, what year was that?
That was 23 years ago. Okay. I started with the radio station. I mean, the radio station was in operation for like 2 months or so. And then we were just broadcasting over the internet. And that's when I started.
Yeah. Oh, so it was internet before it was actually...
Yeah. We were just a baby
radio. And it was like 5 watts or something.
something like that.
Were you at the gala at the Lincoln Center? They had a fundraiser probably, I want to say, maybe a couple of years after the station started.
Probably.
Yeah, I bet you were there.
I love galas or galas.
I love them both.
I love them all. Yeah. Those are so much fun. Those are places where you know you go and you're going to meet amazing people. Yeah. Everybody's happy. Everybody's intelligent. They're creative. It's a gift to yourself to go to these things.
Well, and that's the thing. And I maybe we should just let people know, you know, when it is, and that's September 25th of this year at 6 p.m. And it opens, doors open at 6 and then dinner's at 7. And there's going to be, it's up on the third floor here at the Central Library, mm-hmm. 906 West Main Avenue. And there's going to be live music, drinks, dinner, a card draw raffle, which I'm not really sure I know what that is.
Mm.
What is that?
So I know I've done it at different auctions and galas that I have gone to. And they come to you with a deck of cards.
Okay.
And like you buy a card for like $10, right? Okay. And if they sell 100 cards, they've collected $1,000.
Okay.
And then they do a drawing. If your card is drawn, then you get half of that amount, and then half would go to the radio station.
Oh, okay, like a 50-50 type thing. Yeah. Okay, gotcha. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. And there's going to be, actually, we're going to have a silent auction.
We have an amazing silent auction. I've been procuring items, and there's so much love for KYRS out there. People just want to come and donate. And so every artist, every person that I go to, and I go, would you like to donate, like, you know, one of your art pieces or do this or you know, something fun? And they go, absolutely. So we have such a beautiful, amazing list of art pieces and activities, experiences. I'm going to bid on all of them myself, seriously.
I was looking. It's very tempting. Are they going to do the paddle raise thing?
We are going to do that too.
Okay, that's always a good one.
That's a good one. We have a professional auctioneer who is doing it. He's really well known, but his name is Jeff Owens. He's done a lot of different auctions. I think he's done one for the River Keeper, the Lands Council. So he's going to be there. We have trips to Mexico.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. There are all kinds of good stuff.
When I was on the board for a Stage Left Theater, mm-hmm. we would do things like, okay, who would like to buy a bucket of paint for $5? Mm-hmm. You know, for people who feel like they're not able to bid very mm-hmm. much, you know, just do those kind of things. Those mm-hmm. were really popular type of things. And, you know, maybe you get like 20 gallons of paint, you know, $100 from that.
But yeah.
There's just so many ways to do that. And, you know, people can find tickets and more information if they go to kyrs.org. Mm-hmm. And you can, there's a link there to get your tickets. And we would love to see you. And I think if it's not becoming increasingly obvious in our conversation, is that if you come to the event, you will be able to hang out with really a diverse group of people. And I'm not just talking about, you know, the programming here. You know, obviously Shiro doesn't do the Persian Hour anymore, but we have plenty of people who do ethnic type radio stuff, a lot of Spanish speaking programming. Mm-hmm. We have, of course, a big EDM scene, a lot of eclectic music that gets broadcast. We've got interview shows. We've got shows about health. We've got great shows about the environment. And so all these people, if you are a good person, then you're going to find people that you will make friends here. You will become part of our community. And that's, to me, would be right worth the price of admission right there.
Oh, it's nothing. I mean, right now, if you go out to dinner somewhere, prices have gone so high. You come out, you know, if it's you and your partner, it's $200. Just,
yeah.
You know, just
easily.
For just nothing fantastic, right?
Yeah.
But you come to the gala, you're going to meet so many amazing people. The food is excellent. It's catered by Feast World Kitchen.
Oh, the best.
Yeah, it is amazing. And then we have all this entertainment. And then the opportunity to make new friends. And so every time I have given, so much more has come back to me.
Yeah.
And I don't do it just so something comes back to me. It's just give freely because it feels so good. But exactly. This is a good deal for $100 to come to this, and you get, oh, by the way, you get to drink all you want. So,
oh my gosh, boy, they'll lose money on me.
Yeah, we have great wine, great beer, we have whiskey, we have vodka, and we have, it's just gonna be a fun night.
Yeah,
and the music is gonna be great. So, and you were talking about the programmers, the diversity of programmers that we have.
Yeah,
I'm recruiting new people because. Once you're part of this community, then you end up making so many new friends and meeting so many new people. I just came across these two sisters that are amazing. So one of them teaches literature globally, internationally.
Wow.
She does it in China. She's lived in Uzbekistan, in Tajikistan, in Chechnya. She's been all over the world. And she now lives in Spokane. And she's a poet, she's a musician, she's an activist, she's everything, and she's so beautiful. And I'm like, do you want to have a radio show? You need to have a radio show. And she said, yes, I would. So she's going to do a poetry radio show. But but here's the thing, it's not just like local poetry, it can be. It's global poetry with a hint of food, music, politics, geography, everything. Oh. Everything. It's going to be so unique, and it's going to be an amazing show. So this is the kind of a place. This radio station is so valuable to us.
Yeah.
This is like a hub where all the cool people can come and create something amazing that has never been done before.
Well, yeah. And I think that, you know, we're all looking forward to the midterm elections. I mean, we really are. I mean, we live in a fascist state right now.
We do.
I mean, a fascist country. And, you know, recently you and I were just starting to talk about this before we started the show. But, you know, we recently just had the Supreme Court. Basically, it's couldn't be more obvious. It says right in the Constitution that running an election is up to the states, the way the states do it. But the Supreme Court just throw in the garbage the Constitution, mm-hmm. and is giving, you know, they're kind of like, well, when he does it, then you can complain about it. It'd be like somebody saying, I'm going to shoot you. Mm-hmm. I'm going to count to three and I'm going to shoot you. Mm-hmm. And at two, you say stop. And you've asked for some intervention. Mm-hmm. It'd be like the court saying, well, we really can't do anything until you're shot.
Exactly.
You know? And so they are, really helping fortify this fascist state. And I think that we're all chomping at the bit to do something. Mm-hmm. And there's been some great protests. I've been really involved, you know, at the No Kings rallies and things like that. But this radio station is in the middle of that. Mm-hmm. This radio station is a voice for people who don't have a voice lots of times. This radio station will, if you turn on Amy Goodman right after my show, you're going to hear things that are purposefully left out of our media.
Absolutely.
That they don't want us to know about. When you read the paper like I did this morning that tells you that the Strait of Hormuz is open, mm-hmm. oil, everything's flowing, and it's not, mm-hmm. and everybody knows it's not, but our newspaper will lie to us about it.
It's all manufactured.
Yeah.
Everything's manufactured.
And so why not support an organization that's going to give you hope and come to this gala and celebrate with us? And become a part of that community. And not just like in a militant, we've got to roll up our sleeves and do the work kind of way, but a way where we're just sharing community with each other, mm-hmm. and sharing each other's energy. Mm-hmm. I think that's a wonderful thing.
It is a wonderful thing. Let me add to that. I've been an activist for a long time. In fact, my job, I'm a civil rights investigator.
I remember that. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I've been doing it for 22 years.
Are you still doing it now?
I am still doing it because it's important work.
Absolutely.
I can make a difference. But as an activist, I've seen a lot of people come in because of passion. They come in for a cause and they go hard at it and then they burn out and then they just disappear. And I've seen it happen over and over and over. And I keep telling people, when you come in hot and hard, and then you're going to disappear soon.
Yeah.
So this is something that we need to be doing for the rest of our lives. There needs to be balance. So I've been doing it and I try to have fun too. I have parties, what I call retreats. I invite other activists. It's like, let's have a water balloon fight. Let's eat ice cream and watermelon.
Yeah.
It needs to be fun. Activism doesn't have to be about getting bloodied. It can be fun. We need to nourish ourselves and each other. And coming to this party is one of ways of doing that, nourishing each other. And then, you know, then you learn that you have a much bigger community that you, and you're not alone. The mainstream media wants you to think you're alone and there is no hope.
Yeah.
But when you come to this radio station and you see everybody else, then you go, oh my God, look at this huge community of amazing people.
Yeah.
And we can win this. We are winning it.
I think we are. And, you know, I think when you talked earlier about how you feel good by giving, mm-hmm. right? And how that, and it's not, you don't give and do things because of what you get back in it, mm-hmm. because it just makes you feel good.
Yeah.
And I think that that is really a strategy for long-term activism mm-hmm. too, is to notice how you feel about being what I believe is on the right side of things, mm-hmm. you know, being an honorable person, being a decent human being. And that stretches across, religions, that stretches across non-religions, that stretches across nationalities, across gender stuff, across you know, sexuality, all of that. Mm-hmm. It's just to be a good person and to feel that you're doing a good thing. And so I think if someone were to come to this event, which is September 25th, 2026, the KYRS Gala, and it is here on the third floor of the Central Library, 906 West Main Avenue. And that sounds like in a library. Ugh. Well, you should see this place. If you haven't been up here,
it's gorgeous.
It's a gorgeous, the best view in Spokane.
It is.
It's phenomenal. And the price of admission is worth it because you're going to have good food. You're going to have good entertainment. You're going to get to, maybe you're wondering, like, what do these people look like? Mm-hmm. Well, in my case, be ready for some disappointment, but you'll get to see. But the big thing is you'll be with like-minded people, and what a cool thing! What a cool thing to be a part of our family. And I know that so many of you do support us during the pledge drive. That this is a little something extra we're asking for. And I think I have to say, too, that we are not paid. We don't get paid to do this.
And we don't get a commission.
We don't get a commission.
It just feels good.
When you prepared, when you had the Persian Hour, why don't we tell, and then we're going to cut for 20-minute stuff, but why don't we tell people a little bit about what that preparation was? So you have a show mm-hmm. on Saturdays, mm-hmm. which is your show, from noon to one.
Right.
So what did that look like?
It depended. I mean, it went on for 16 years, mm-hmm. every single Saturday. So I had to come up with new material. Mm-hmm. So the show was about creating awareness and understanding of a whole culture, a whole people that is misrepresented. So I would do interviews, I would do recipes, I would have music, I have stories, and all of it from the heart. So like, to find the right people to interview, I would have to contact them, talk to them, tell them what our mission was, how I was doing it. So like that took time. And then to come up with the right music that matched what the show was about, that took time. And then, you know, every now and then, you know, because I was sharing recipes and telling stories about my mom's cooking and stuff, people would call and say, hey, would you cook for us? And I would go, okay. So I was like cooking for people 4, 5, 6 times a year.
Wow.
Yeah. It was a lot of work. But because of that, I ended up having a community which was so big and kind, and it gave me back so much more. And then, I don't know if you knew this or not, some of my listeners said, take us to Iran.
So, I didn't know that. No.
Yeah, yeah. So this was about 15 years ago, and I took 2 families with their children. One family was Jewish, the other family Christian, and they wanted to go see Iran because their vision of Iran had changed by listening to my show. So we went to Iran for 2 weeks, and we were the only Americans that year that went to Iran because State Department says, don't go. There was nothing, no relationships. And we were there for 2 weeks. Out of the 2 weeks, we spent 3 nights in hotels. The rest of the time, all of us were guests at people's homes.
Wow.
People we hadn't met. We would just meet them there. And as soon as they find out we were Americans, they go, oh my God, you got to come. And then there would be feasts. There would be, you know, it was nice. It was beautiful. And we planted peace trees there.
Wow.
We went to schools, visited. Nobody paid us. We just did it out of our own pockets. And we had an amazing time. And then we made a documentary out of it, which I had no skills to do it. But a friend of mine helped. And we put a documentary together about it, and it got selected in the Chicago International Film Festival.
Wow. What, can people still see that documentary?
Yeah, probably. It's on Vimeo. It's not high quality because I had no experience, but it's called From Spokane with Love.
Okay. And you know what? I think I might have known some of the people that went on the trip with you, I believe, now that you mentioned that. Okay, we're going to come back in just a few minutes. I've got to play my underwriters, but we're going to play a little what I believe is Persian music. We'll see. And when we come back, of course, I think we'd be remiss as we're talking about this fun night that we're planning for everybody about we should need to talk a little bit about what's going on in Iran right now.
Sure.
I think when we come back. Okay. So let's do that. I'm going to play a little bit of music. I'll load up my stuff and we'll be right back.
با تو میرسم به هرچی میخوام میشم اون که دلت میخوام تا مال منو داری انگار چه شد همه چی الادار با تو بیخیال همه حرفم میشینه به دلم حرفات به خودم ترجیح میدم تا تو بری هرجا میام همراه بله دیلمه دلامون قلقمون جاس رو چشامه لج میکنی روشن بدی نمیدونی من خودم تو این مسیر کنارتم خیال تخت و منو داری معمولا نمیگم اینو با تو اینو فرق داری تو میرسم به هرچی میخوام میشم اون که دلت میخوام تا مال منو داری انگار چه شد همه چی حالا دار با تو بی خیال همه حرفم میشینه به دلم حرفات به خودم ترجیح میدن تا تو بری هر جا میام همراه از همه سری تو گشتم ولی خوب انگاری مثل تو روی زمین دریا بشی برم فایل میشم برا تانه بدونم تو واسه منی ماه تو شبمی همیشه با همین یه روحی ولی تو دوتا تنی با تو میرسم به هرچی میخوام میشم اون که دلت میخوام تا مال منو داری انگار چشد همه چی و لادار تو بی خیال همه حرفم میشینه به دلم حرفات به خودم ترجیح میدم تا تو بری هر جا میام همراز امیر خوش دارم
Washington University, the region's polytechnic, offering an increased emphasis on real-world, hands-on learning to build career-ready skills and a lifelong community. More information at ewu.edu.
Oh, I'm sorry. I sort of cut my underwriter off a little bit, and that was Eastern Washington University. Well, we are back, and I'm talking to Shara, who used to do the Persian Hour, and we're talking about the gala. I have a really hard time saying gala. Shara, I'm sorry. I just always feel like I'm Thurston Howell saying the gala. You know, I mean, it's like it just sounds really pretentious. Yeah. But who am I? But you know, we were kind of talking about, you know, how people would if we weren't here, I think people would miss us. But they're not. You know, we're here.
We're here. There would be such a gap, you know.
And yeah.
It's like having a loved one in your life and you take him for granted and then something happens and they're no longer there. And
yeah.
There's a huge gap and sadness and sorrow.
Yeah.
Don't let it go there. It's not going there. We're actually going to do better than we have ever done before.
But we
need everyone's participation in our journey.
Well, the thing is, I think that there's never been a better time for fellow travelers to join us because, and this will be a really clumsy segue because I think like even the people in Iran right now that are experiencing this malevolence of this awful fascist government who attacked a country that wasn't doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, people probably, of course, our press doesn't talk much about this.
Never.
But they, you know, of course, Obama had worked out a deal, a nuclear deal, that all the generals signed on to, that the international community signed on to, that nuclear investigators signed on to. They had all that. And then Trump, being just a horrible human being and all about himself, came in and just destroyed it. So then they want to... You know, then he bombs their program and destroys it, supposedly. And he did he? I don't know. But later on, they try to do a negotiation with it. And they're on the verge of actually getting another good deal, much like what Obama had. But Netanyahu calls him up. And the only person who is only president idiotic enough to fall for it. And also it would help him out for people to forget about the Epstein files more than anything, I think. He attacks this unilateral attack, illegal war on Iran, you know, killing a lot of non-combatants, killing children. And I think that we are unified with the Iranian people right now. We are unified with farmers right now. We are unified with the LGBT community right now. We are unified with law-abiding police officers. We are unified with sailors, airmen, soldiers, and Marines. We, all of us, are unified against this, I feel like. And I think KYRS should have a lot of participation simply because all decent people are really under threat right now.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Are you familiar with Eric Fromm?
That name sounds familiar.
Yeah. Psychologist and sociologist.
Oh, Fascism, the book on fascism?
Yeah, well, yeah, there are several books.
Yes, I read from that last year. Yeah. Yeah.
His parents were Jews that escaped Nazi Germany. And he wrote a book called Escape from Freedom. And in it, he explains, why is it that so many good people just stay silent and don't do anything? And so dictators and fascists, they keep coming back. They keep coming back. Why is it? And he says that it's because people, in a way, are lazy. And
yeah.
Having a democracy is work. You got to be active on it, like we were talking about earlier. You got to be active. You got to take part. And there's risk involved with that. And, you know, it's some work, you know. But this is good work. It's good trouble. It's good stuff. And he says, but most people rather somebody come and say, hey, don't worry, I'll take care of it. It's not your fault you're having a really bad life. It's those other people's fault.
Yeah.
So I'll fix that. And it's very simple. So they give away their power. That's so we can keep blaming Trump or others, but it always comes back to us.
Yeah.
What is it that we do as individuals? How do we live our own lives? Are we just going to let somebody else fix everything for us? Well, then it's never going to happen. We have to participate. And participation, like I was saying, it doesn't have to be bloodied and hard. It could be fun. Like coming to a gala is participation. Coming
yeah.
and having fun, eating really good food.
Making connections.
That is participation. That makes us stronger and healthier. It's like when you want to grow, if you have a garden, if you want to grow a tomato plant, you know, you feed it, you take care of it, and then eventually gives you the fruit that you want. That is the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm totally in agreement. I think that, you know, I think another thing besides laziness is that people become kind of fearful and frozen mm-hmm. and don't really know who to believe or who to trust, or is this the time to take action? Is this the time to do yeah. something? You know, even when I was a fire captain and paramedic, I can't tell you how many places that I walked into that I would see a patient and I would just say to myself, oh God, I hope this patient is not as bad as they look. Mm. I hope that I don't have to do all of these interventions. I hope I don't have to intubate. I hope I don't have to do all these things to this person. I hope they're just faking.
Yeah.
And sometimes they would be faking, and sometimes they wouldn't. But, you know, there is that sort of fail-safe to, like, everything's going to be all right. You know, everything's going to turn out just okay. And we've kind of been believing that a long time, and it's sort of been this slow train coming,
mm-hmm.
you know, where so much has been taken away as far as freedoms, as far as economic situation, all of this stuff. And there's not a whole lot more left to take, but they're going to take it.
Well, the machine only takes. It's a machine. It's the capitalism
yeah.
is never satisfied. It just takes and takes and takes.
Yeah.
So eventually it will collapse because there is no more to take. But
yeah.
with that collapse, all of the innocence is going to be sacrificed. All of us will be sacrificed
yes.
with it. So are we going to let it happen to us, or are we going to stop participating?
Yeah. Well, that's... Yeah. I always think it's funny how they keep raising, and one of my jobs too was I was a B-52 bombardier, and my job was to go bomb the mm-hmm. Soviet Union, mm-hmm. in a nuclear laden bomber, train for that day in and day out. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's pretty wild that right now some of the most reprehensible people in the world are the ones that are telling you how bad communism is or how bad socialism is. Mm-hmm. I think when you have a traitor, a rapist, a probable pedophile, an adjudicated rapist, a person who has stolen secret documents, and on and on and on. When you have this guy preaching against a certain economic system, I think there's a whole group of people that say, if this kind of evil is against this economic system,
mm-hmm.
maybe we should take a look at this economic system. And I think, well, and for me, I don't, you know, really the Soviet Union was not communist. It was state-sponsored capitalism, but that's splitting hairs. But I think that they are doing more to promote socialism and communism. And well, of course, Trump is buying up a lot of mm-hmm. businesses. You know, the United States is taking control of businesses, mm-hmm. which is very communistic. So I find it's an interesting thing that's going on.
Yeah, it's all about control. Yeah. And the more they have, the more they want, because they're really insecure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, when you start doing really bad things to people, mm-hmm. and you have accumulated a lot of wealth from harming people, and you have broken the law and not been accountable for it, and you have, you know, commit basically daily atrocities, I would imagine that if you were that person, you would be worried. Mm-hmm. You know, you would be worried. You know, every indication was that you could go ahead and do these things, because we've never really punished people before that have been wealthy or have been in positions of power. We've never held them accountable. From the Civil War on, mm-hmm. we've not held these people accountable. And so I would imagine that this election, they know that there's possibly justice coming if they lose power, and that justice will mean punishment for them. And so I imagine they will do everything they can to stop this election from happening.
Mm-hmm. It's possible.
Yeah. But let's go to a gala.
Let's go to the gala. When is it?
When is it? It's actually, that's a good question. It is September 25th of this year at 6 p.m. Dinner starts at 7. There are drinks.
Lots of drinks.
Lots of drinks. Free. There is entertainment. It's on the third floor of the library, which is a fun place. I've been to plays up here. I've been to concerts up here. I staged a live radio play of Plan 9 from Outer Space up here. There's political rallies up here. It's a cool space. And so you can go to get your tickets. You should go to KYRS's website, which is simply kyrs.org, KYRS, Kilo, Yankee, Romeo, Sierra, .org. And you can go get tickets there. And there's going to be a live auction. There's going to be a silent auction. There's going to be a card draw raffle. And we're actually going to have a professional auctioneer mm-hmm. doing this, which will be fun.
And the food. I mean, just come for the food.
Yeah, let's talk a little, because it's Feast World Kitchen,
which is my favorite restaurant in Spokane. It is the best. The whole concept is wonderful. The food is delicious. It's made with love, which love is the one ingredient that is necessary when you make food.
Yeah.
And Feast is where you can...
Do we know what nationality food they're going to be featuring?
Yes, it's going to be Mediterranean style.
Oh, yeah.
So, which is... We decided it's like... It needs to be something that everybody would like.
Yeah.
So, Mediterranean was it. And they do an amazing job with Mediterranean.
Yes, they do.
There will be dessert. And then, like I said, there's free beer, free wine, whiskey, vodka. You know, you remind me... after my divorce, which was freedom for me, I moved in from a 5-bedroom house. I moved into a 1-bedroom apartment.
Yeah.
And I was so happy. And once a month, I would have parties in my apartment. And I would do like Russia night. So everybody had lots of vodka, and we would make Russian food. And we had to have Russian accents. And then we would watch Dr. Zhivago, right? And then we do Bollywood night, you know, so another month.
Yeah, that
so
sounds
we
fantastic.
All had to wear a bindi, right? You know. Anyway, so when I say vodka, it always takes me back to those days when I used to do.
Oh, that would be that would be so much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this sounds like our gala is going to be right up your alley. Then.
Absolutely. Give me enough vodka, I'll be there doing the Kazakh dance. Yeah.
Well, you know, I started to make a clumsy segue and then I dropped it. I wanted to talk a little bit about, do you still have people in Iran right
now? Of course. Every single one of them there is my people. Yeah. I love that. The people there are extremely beautiful and kind.
Yes.
It's a culture that goes back more than 5,000 years. That country has been invaded and attacked dozens of times, and it always has survived and become stronger. The same thing is happening right now. This country, Iran, has become stronger than it has been in hundreds and hundreds of years.
Yes.
Because when you have an evil entity or evil entities attacking you, despite all the differences in the country, everybody unites. And this is an existential threat to them. They've been through this before. They were genocided by Western powers during the First World War. Iran had a population of 18 million people. The British, the French, and the Americans came, took everything away, just the way they did it to the Irish. And 9 million people died in Iran, right? That's 50% of the population. They starved to death because it was stolen by the Americans and the British and the French. And then again, they did the same thing in the Second World War, but this time Russia joined and they divided up Iran and they took everything. So everything that Iran has done for the past 50 years, it's always been about trying to maintain its integrity, its independence, its safety. They have never attacked anyone, but they keep getting attacked. And one of the biggest reasons is that they are strong. They have history. They will survive. And the Western powers or the powers to be, they don't want that. They want to control the world with their aircraft carriers, with their nuclear weapons or whatever. And so these are the abusers. And the abusers always blame the victim.
Yeah.
And they say, no, it's their fault. Mm-hmm. We're doing it because it's their own fault. Yeah. It's the same exact thing.
Yeah.
The abused and the abuser.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, it's funny. Well, it's not funny, but, you know, I think people should look to other news sources to kind of see what's going on in there. In fact, it was the Wall Street Journal editor at large, Gerald Baker, said that Iran's government is more credible in what they're telling the world is going on than the Trump administration. And that's an American. Mm-hmm. This is the first time, I think, in a so-called war situation that our government's been called out for being really the biggest, the more of a proponent of propaganda than the people that we're supposedly fighting, you know, and I just think that if you are depending upon our news media to find out what's going on, you're not going to know what's going on. And that's why things like Amy Goodman after this show is so good with Democracy Now. You'll hear actual true things. And then you have to take those true things and decide what you're going to do with that.
Yeah.
And instead of having somebody tell you lies, that so you never have to make a decision about doing something differently. What are some things about doing a radio program here that you think people don't know about, like somebody who tunes in? Or is there some things that you think, like, if somebody were to tune in, they just listen to something that they just go, you know?
This is the only place where there is no censorship. I mean, there are certain words we cannot say, right? That's it. But this is a free place. This is true democracy right here, where people can come, no matter who they are, they can have a show. As long as the content of their character and what it is that they're sharing is just and right.
Yeah.
And based on kindness and not hate mongering. And so many people come to this radio station with their creativity, and their creativity actually ends up expanding because this is like, it's a place for that. I never thought I was creative. Never. And it forced me into become creative. And I went, oh my God, I can't believe I came up with that. You know?
Yeah.
So this, it's like, this is a womb. Like, you know, this is our mom, and we are inside the womb of our mom, and it gives us so much love. Yeah. And it really is. This radio station means so much to me. Like I told you, I've been in this country for 47 years, and I never felt at home or had a sense of belonging until I became part of this radio station. And then I truly found a community that appreciated me, was grateful for me, gave me feedback in very positive ways, supported me. And that's what this radio station can do for the whole community.
Yeah.
No other radio station or TV station does that. The mainstream is about manipulation. It's the exact opposite of what KYRS does.
Oh, I think that's really well put. I mean, I think people need to realize too, we're not a podcast, and nothing against podcasts. I mean, you can access all the shows mm-hmm. as podcasts, but we're doing this live. You and I are sitting here right now mm-hmm. at the studio having a conversation, and nothing gets edited out, except for if I have to hit the button to dump a bad word that somebody said. You know, that's it. So this is all kind of really, I think, a very honest place too.
Yes, it is.
And, you know, you talk about getting that feeling of community and that nurturing that took place. You know, a lot of that is the work that you did putting a show together, giving a gift. That's what I feel like, you know, maybe it's not the best gift sometimes, but it is. I feel like when I put the show together, I spend the afternoon and the morning, sometimes the day before, coming up with questions and doing my research and on the person I'm going to interview and putting together music that kind of ties in with the show a little bit. But it's all that work, and I do it because it makes me really happy to give people this back, that they turn on the radio and they hear something that that makes them happy, and that makes me really feel good.
Yeah.
You know, and I used to be able to do that in my job as a firefighter, you know, to help people and to help their problems and to be there when they needed somebody. And I feel like this is a great follow on in my retirement to be able to do this. And so I get to do that. And like you said earlier, you know, it's not that you do it because of good things come back to you. It's like just the doing it makes you mm-hmm. feel good.
Absolutely.
And so why not surround yourself with people who feel the same way? And that's why I'm going to keep, I feel like I'm doing a pledge drive sometimes when I'm saying these things, but this gala is going to be September 25th.
Friday,
September 25th, 2026 at 6 p.m. Then dinner's going to be served at 7. So doors will open up at 6. You can get drinks. You can look at the art and look at other things at the great...
And look at the sunset. It's the perfect time.
Oh, my gosh.
From
right.
those windows over the waterfalls. Oh, yeah, man. You're looking at the sunset. This is a perfect date night. You know, whether it's with a friend or a partner or whatever, with your mom or dad and your neighbor.
Yeah.
Just bring them. This is an amazing, memorable night. Please come.
Is there way for people to buy like an entire table?
Sure. You just go on the website and just, you know, you can.
How big are there, like 6 seats at a table? Do we know that yet? Or
I think it's either 6 or 8. I have to find out.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, we can set people up as they need to be.
Yeah. That would be really cool. Yeah. I think, you know, you could get together a bunch of friends, bring them down here, you know, and all these things, when you go to these things that are also, you know, it's a benefit auction too. So people donate stuff. I've got a piece of art that I'm donating, and you know, people, you know, you can, but you are not obligated to spend any money, mm-hmm. but most people do kind of get caught up in the moment, and you know, there's, you know, people are feeling pretty good and having a good time, and they see what the mission is of the studio. They get to see the studio, all of that stuff, 'cause it's right here. And, maybe somebody, if you bought a table, you know, for, I think that'd probably be like $600 to get a table. Don't quote me on that, but I think that's about right. You get to help that out, and then you wind up, you wind up having people who may or may not bid on something too. But the best thing is that those people get to meet some of your friends. Mm-hmm. I know you're probably like me, Charo, that you have friends from all sorts of different walks of life, right? I mean, different worlds that we've walked in. And what a cool thing that would be to bring those people all together at a table and you could have fun with these people.
Totally. So another thing is, when you go to these auctions, they have so many good items, right? And my favorites are either art or trips and experiences.
Yeah.
The first time I went to an auction, it was for Habitat for Humanity. And there was a $7,000 trip to Mexico, everything included, flight, everything. And it was at the end of the auction, people had spent all their money. Many people had left already. And that one auction item was the last one, right? So I was the only one bidding on it.
Oh, really? Oh, my gosh. How much did you get it for?
I got it for less than $900.
Oh, my goodness.
That was a trip for two. Airline,
wow.
I mean, five-star hotel, food, drinks for a whole week. I mean, so you could end up with a really good deal, many good deals if you come to the auction.
That sounds good. And I have kind of not to, that. That's the story people should leave with. But I did something once at an auction that my wife went up to go to the bathroom. She bought a table. And the thing that got auctioned, was one of the first items, I think. And it was something that I don't think people really wanted. And I immediately raised my paddle and bid on it just to kind of open it up.
You got stuck with it.
I got stuck with it. And it was a lot of money. It was like $700. Yeah. And my wife, she comes back from coming to the bathroom and everybody is super quiet at the table. Nobody is saying anything. Yeah. And finally, I have to confess, I just spent $700.
Don't go to the bathroom.
Yes. Yeah, but yours is a better tale. You come, maybe nobody bids on something. It's something that you really want. And you get a great deal on it too.
Absolutely. There is amazing art at this auction.
Yeah.
And art is valuable. It's a huge investment.
Yes.
You will enjoy it every day. And then someday, if you want to sell it, you could, and maybe even make money from it.
Yeah. Or you pass it on to your grandkids.
Exactly.
Or yeah. Exactly. I mean, I always talk to people who always have maybe a problem spending money on art, but they have no problem getting tattoos. I said, unless you know a good taxidermist, you're not going to pass it on to your grandchildren. Maybe you should think about buying a painting instead.
Yeah.
You
know? That's a good one.
Yeah, thanks. Fine, it doesn't help me sell any paintings. But actually, I don't ever really sell my paintings. Maybe once a year I'll open up the paintings for selling. So this is kind of a new one of the few ways people can get my art is through these auctions for charities. I was going to ask you, Persepolis. Mm-hmm. Have you read that graphic novel?
Yeah.
I loved it.
Yeah.
I thought it was such a good thing, and things that I never thought about the Iranian experience during the revolution, really, it's just, I suppose there's more out there, more stories like that.
Yeah, so revolutions are always dark times.
Yeah.
They come out of necessity. But usually, so a lot of groups, they want to overthrow an oppressive regime, and then they get united, and then they overthrow the oppressive regime. And then afterwards, they're supposed to collaborate. But usually, the group which is the most violent takes over.
Yeah.
Because of their violence. And that's what Iran went through back then, 47 years ago. And it was a dark time. But Iran of now is very different than the Iran of back then. The easiest way to see what it looks like is go on YouTube. Just type in a walk in Tehran. And then you're going to be exposed to dozens of videos that people post on YouTube on a daily basis. There are all these girls and boys and young people, and they're posting things on YouTube of their daily lives.
Yeah.
And then you see what it actually looks like, which is so different from what the mainstream media shows you.
I know. I have done that, and I've looked, and when they talk about the bombing of a bridge or something like that. I don't know. In my mind, I kind of pictured like older cars and things like that, but they're very cosmopolitan, newer vehicles. Yeah. People are living good lives. And
the fashion there is the best in the world right now.
Yeah.
The food is amazing. So let me tell you this. 70% of the population of Iran is under the age of 30.
Okay. Oh, wow. Because, wow. Yeah.
There's a 95% literacy rate, which is extremely high. Education is free. So people go and get higher education. You can go and get your PhD free. And many people do that because everybody wants to be called a doctor or an engineer right. or whatever. You know, it's just, not only it's a status thing, but it's Iranians love reading. In every block, there is a bookstore.
Wow.
We don't have bookstores here except aunties.
Yeah.
Now imagine hundreds and hundreds, if not over 1,000 bookstores in one city.
Wow.
Right? This is what people grow up with. It's a very smart population. 67% of the university students are female. 65% of physicians in Iran are female. So this is a very strong feminist culture, but not feminist in the terms that some of us have experienced here. It's feminist in the way that they're strong, they're smart, they're in charge. And, you know, which is the it's not a story that the mainstream media is sharing with people.
No.
Right? They always talk about oppression, women have no rights, they can't. Just go watch these YouTubes that people post every day of their own lives and you see what it looks
and
like.
And then maybe think about
travel.
Think about travel and then also think about what's going on here in the United States. Maybe, maybe we're not, you know, maybe we're the ones being oppressed.
Absolutely.
So, all right. So we just made, we've been pitching today for the
gala
at September 25th, 6 p.m. here at the third floor of the Central Library. You can go to kyrs.org and please get a ticket. We would love to see you here. It's a great deal. And it is going to be a ton of fun.
It is.
All right. Thanks for listening. And you are listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane on 88.1 and or 92.3 FM. And I will see you next week.
Whatever Donald wants. But hundreds of local and state officials across America are using their heads, hands, and imaginations to do something about the real problems our people face. School districts, for example. Many are facing a double whammy. First, developers and their politicians have gentrified many cities so severely that teachers and staff can't afford to live there. Second, a right-wing push for school consolidations and closures has left many campuses vacant. But could one problem plus the other one add up to zero? Yes, say education innovators in such districts as San Diego, Austin, and South Miami. Leaders there and elsewhere are converting vacated classrooms, offices, and schoolyards into high-quality family apartment complexes. They'll house several thousand teachers, janitors, and others, cutting rents by 50% or better. This is Jim Hightower saying, encouraging this kind of freewheeling problem-solving is not just thinking outside the box, it's eliminating the box. For more creative ideas to make public policy work for the public, go to stateinnovation.org. The Hightower Radio Lowdown is made possible by you subscribers to Jim Hightower's Lowdown on Substack. Find us at jimhightower.substack.com.
Hi, this is Teresa, and you're listening to KYRS Medical Lake Spokane, 88.1 and 92.3 FM.
KYRS Medical Lake and K222BG Dartford, 88.1 FM and 92.3 FM, Thin Air Community Radio.
The following program was pre-recorded.
New York, this is Democracy Now.
Our objective is to sever
every economic lifeline that sustains this tyrannical regime until Tehran stands alone.
The Trump administration has announced plans to escalate its economic war against Iran by issuing new sanctions and targeting Iran's trading partners. We'll speak to Cornell professor Nicholas Mulder, author of The Economic Weapon, The Rise of Sanctions as a Tool of Modern War. Then we look at how local officials in Illinois are collaborating with federal immigration agents, despite a state law barring the practice.
Well, it might not surprise you to learn that police are still working with ICE. Documents now reveal that county prosecutors are also feeding the agency information.
We will speak to Aura Bogado of Injustice Watch. And then we'll go inside a Texas jail to hear from Autumn Hill, an activist sentenced to 50 years in prison for protesting outside the Prairie Land ICE facility.